on this thing. This looks crooked to me. That does it. Now it's crooked the other way.
Yep.
Now it's straight on the screen though.
Oh, really? All right. Right now, Z. All right. We're good? Okay, ladies, we are going to continue the thesis on the first verse of the letter Yud. So let me refresh your memory very, very briefly. I'll do it in the frame of the Ma'am Lois, who quotes Rihiyun. Yodecha asuni v'choynenuni, verse 73. Of chapter 119 that heralds the eight letters or eight verses of the letter Yud, begins with the idea that your hands have made me and formed me, and we ask, Havineni, make me understand, ve'elmodo mitzvesecha, and I will learn your mitzvahs. Says Zichiyun, Kivan sheyadecha asuni v'chaynenuni, since your hands form me, and everything about me is so right and perfect. As we described in last week's class, I'm as a human being, I'm so ready, I'm so propitious, I'm so perfectly formed. So everything is the way it should be. Bevadai hoyel is a tachlis. That's got to be for a reason. Can't just be. Has to be a reason for it. Why is it that humanity was formed in a manner that lends itself so naturally to wisdom, to understanding, to us living a godly life, and so on and so forth? It's got to be a reason for it. And therefore, the conclusion is that Hashem created us so exquisitely, with such perfect symmetry, the tachlis is the Torah and its mitzvahs. And as such, once I come to realization of how perfectly God formed us, the request is Havineni, make me understand, V'elmado mitzvesecha, because I'll never be able to understand. Shale'uchol avinam elo be'ezrascha. So that's how the first business of commenting on how perfectly we're formed leads us into the request, Havineni, make me understand. In the manner that was explained by the Teres Chesed and the Shaar HaChaim, the point is that we were created B'Tselem, in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, Min Hadin She'elmedo Mitzvesecha, it is only just and right and logical that we should learn about your mitzvahs. Shaloi ehaye kebehema, says the Teres Chesed. So I shouldn't be like an animal. And we talked about this at length last week, that a person could be like behema, or a person could be a human being, could be a mensch, and that every one of us should aspire towards menschlichkeit, towards becoming a human being who's in the image of God, not simply a creature that takes up space, eats, sleeps, breathes, and has fun, and so on and so forth. And this is what David HaMelech says. Barasani be'efa nifla, says the Shaar HaChaim. You created us in an extraordinary, in a wondrous way. And therefore, what I'm seeking is to make the purpose of my creation meaningful. This wondrous creation, as a human being, I should exhaust its possibilities. I should utilize the gift, the privilege of life. And we developed this thesis last week in a very, very detailed and, I thought, interesting fashion. Hopefully you agree. All right, so now we said there's like a little bit of we're going to go from thesis to antithesis. There's something here that seems to be totally off kilter. And that is that having discussed how special we are and how unique our creation is, we ask Hashem, Havineni. Havineni is, make me understand. We just went ahead and talked about how we were created for a purpose. And the purpose we were created for is that we should do this. Well, if we should do this, it should not be Havineni. I shouldn't be asking God, now you make me understand. I should be saying, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and do this. There's a famous story that they once asked the Magid of Mizrich, did your Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, not teach that everything is Bashgacha Pratis? He said, yes. Did he not say that you can learn something from everybody? He says, yeah, that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bekom Alam De'eskalti, and everybody you meet you can learn something from. So they said, great. What can you learn from an atheist? So the Magid of Mizrich, the batting eyelash, said, what you learn from an atheist is that when somebody comes and he needs tzedakah, don't tell him God will help you. Then be an atheist. See, if I don't give him the tzedakah, he's going to go hungry. So if a person realizes how extraordinary are his or her faculties, Wow, look, Hashem formed me. As a member of the human race, I have so many amazing gifts. I have such ability to grasp, to understand, to assimilate ideas and to distill them into action. I have amazing abilities. So what's the sum total of that calculation? That we have so much potential. Okay, God, so make me understand. Is that the conclusion that we were led to? After having understood about all the potential that God invested within us, should not the result, the sum total, be, let's roll our sleeves up and get to work? And instead, David HaMelech says, oh, so havineni. Okay, you start this off. You make me understand. Oh, then Elmada, I'll learn something too. It sounds almost like slothful. It sounds like I'm waiting for God to do most of the work. I'll come along at the end. You know, you do the work. I'll be there. I'll come make sure that in the end, I'll learn something too.
Because there are people that have the potential, they have talents, but they don't use them. So maybe it's asking, we are asking God to give us the strength or the will.
Yeah, that's, we said that, first of all, you said there are people. Excusing yourself, but you know, but most of us would probably fit very well into those people who God has given ability and talent and aren't using those talents fully, number one. So yeah, we ask Hashem, give me koyach, give me strength. Which part of the word havineni means koyach? Havineni means understanding. You want to understand something, learn it, try to understand it. Like, what does it mean havineni? Now, interestingly, if you take a look at some of the mafarshim we talked about last week, for example, The Ibn Ezra says, "V'yichaynununi, you have formed me." He says, "What does it mean? I was formed. Lekabel habina. I was formed to be able to receive the wisdom or the understanding. I was formed to receive it." Okay, so if I'm formed to receive it, so what is it, just sit there and wait for it to fall on my head? I'm formed to receive it. Great. So I have the potential. I'm formed to understand it. Go understand. As they say, open a book and start learning. Find a teacher. That's our job. That's our moral imperative. The response of David, havineni ve'elmeda, which only gives himself like a secondary responsibility, seems to be antithetical to this message. So I gave you thesis, here's antithesis. It doesn't match. And especially the Ibn Ezra emphasizes, that's the chaynuni, lekabel habina, that I can receive that understanding. Okay, so go get it. Radak, in his a commentary in this verse, he says, v'kiv en she'asisim, since you made me b'tvuno, with understanding, nivchara lehovino lehaskil, I was selected, I was chosen to understand and to intuit. So he says, Azuni Bahavana, help me to understand. Bahavineni. So he says, what you're saying, help me to understand. That means the Bahavineni means help me to understand. The problem is that it's a Ha'ikir Chosim and Ha'sefer. That's not what it says. It says Havineni. Havineni means make me understand. Right? The Dak is kind of reading into it that it means. And if you look in the Mitzvot David, he doesn't say that at all. He says, also, you made me a perfect vessel to receive the understanding. The Elmada is only afterwards. The Havineni is a call to God. You make me understand. You make me understand? No. I should understand. I should figure this out. It's like the kids come home. I have homework tonight. Okay. Okay, so, you know, put this in my head. I have a test tomorrow. That's good. That's your problem, not mine. Did you listen in class? Well, kind of. Yeah, keep reading. I don't think you listened in class. No, I'm telling you I did. Yeah, why did you know what you're talking about then? If the kid thinks you're just going to put the information into their head, you know that the children are slacking off. They're not doing their duty. A child that says, help me. I understand such and such. Now help me understand the rest of it or help me figure out a problem. That's reasonable. But help me. Teach it to me. I have a test tomorrow. Figure it out. Put it into my head. We sound like this spoiled brat, havineni. But the reason it's so strange, it goes against the whole theme of that this pasuk develops. So the truth is, I don't think this is an original question. I think that if we look deeply into the Medrash, in the Medrash Tilim, that is really the question of the Medrash Tilim. I don't know that, but that's what I think. Let me read to you the terminology, the actual verbiage of the Medrash Tilim. The Medrash Tilim says, Mahu havineni. What does it mean, make me understand? Ve'elma de mitzvah secha. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, that is exactly the question. This is what the Medrash Tilim is asking. What does that mean, havineni? After all, you just explained how we were perfectly formed, how everything was given to us. We are the kli, we are the perfect vessel. So we're asking Hashem that this perfect vessel should be able to be utilized for your sake, to praise you. Okay, so what's havineni? So the Medrash gives us what seems on the surface the strangest of answers. Literally like mumbo jumbo. I'll read it to you. Tell me if it doesn't sound like mumbo jumbo to you. Omar David says the Medrash Tilim, King David said, Hachovis shel yayin, the barrel of wine, a noisten l'teicha yayin. You don't put wine into the barrel ad sheziftei, until you first seal it. Otherwise, it'd be a leaky barrel. So once you seal the barrel, literally with pitch or wax, but whatever it is, you seal it. So then, after you seal the barrel, he says, then you're able to put the wine in. Kach, so too, ziftani, seal me, ve'achakach simba yayin, and then place inside wine. Says the Medrash. Habina, the understanding, he has zefet. That's the pitch, the tar, the wax, the sealant. Vahatalmud, and the learning, hu hayayin. This is the wine. So incidentally, or parenthetically, in Rishonim, it doesn't say it on this Medrash, but I've seen in many other places, that the idea of yayin represents Torah, because yayin has the numeric equivalent of yud is 10, yud is 10, that gives you 20, and nun is 50. Sum total of 70. How many dimensions are there in the Torah? Shivim, panim, l'Torah. So the number 70 kind of lines up perfectly with Torah. Okay, fine, that's just a parenthetical thing. What does that mean? What does it mean that understanding is sealant and the learning is wine? What does that mean? Learning flows. Learning flows? So how did understanding become a sealant? I mean, why wine? Why not anything else? If you told me that there's, you know, the wine itself and then the taste of the wine or the texture of the wine, or, you know, these people who they take some wine in their tongue and they swish it around and they spit it out and tell you which Bordeaux, and if it wasn't true, I'd actually think it was bologna. I wouldn't believe it. It's so amazing to me that people can do that. They can actually tell you which field it grew in and which year's vintage it is. How talented a tongue can you have? It's really extraordinary, but they could do that. So that would seem like Bina to me. That would seem, because Bina is the understanding of it. I don't know. Bina ended up being a bunch of pitch over here, some tar. And this is what the Medrash says. This is what David said. Ten be Bina, put in me understanding. V'acharkach elmeda. And the last time I checked, first I learned something, then try to understand it. He want to understand it first, then learn it. Mm-hmm. That's like totally counterintuitive.
It's to understand that you need to learn.
No, that's what you're saying. It's not what David HaMelech is saying. David HaMelech didn't say, understand, you need to learn. He says, first understand it, then learn it. It's the opposite. Now, in case that's not clear enough, the Medrash is going to clear this up and help you out of here. Knei chochma, knei bina. David, King Solomon says in Proverbs, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. But whatever you acquire, make sure you acquire understanding. That helps. Well, not really. I don't know what that means. V'cheinu oimer, ledas, chochma, o musar, to know wisdom and ethics, lahavanim rebina, to understand sayings of understanding. Says the Medrash, mi sheyesh lo chochma, ve'in lo bina. What if somebody has wisdom without understanding? So what's that like? Oh, that's doim lo mishesh biyadei pas, ve'in lo mayechaba. He's got the lafa in his hand, but he has nothing to eat it with. Ever go to these lafa restaurants? It's all we have in Toronto, those lafa restaurants. And they all close down. Right? So in the lafa, if you come to the store, you get it served lafa. They bring out these big pieces of bread. Mm-hmm. What are you waiting for? Something to eat with it. Chumos, baba ganoush. So he says, you know what it has? Like you have chokhmah, it's like getting a nice hot lafa. But it's just pas, it's just bread. Mishi yesh lebina. What about the person understanding in l'chokhmah? He has understanding without anything to understand. Understand that wisdom. So that's like somebody who has baba ganoush chumos, but no lafa. Okay, so you're going to eat baba ganoush? It's not exactly pudding, you know, like to eat a bowl of baba ganoush. It's not the Greek yogurt. So Misha Yeshli Chachma Ubina. Ah, now you're sitting in a good place. Now you have Lafa, Chumos, and Baba Ganoush. Now you have what to do with the Lafa bread. So you can scoop it up and eat it. Kach Amar David. I understand Lafa and Baba Ganoush very well. But how this is talking about Chachma and Bina, it's like a mystery to me. But the Medrash says, oh, that's exactly what David said. This is exactly, precisely the metaphor. Halechem hi Chachma. Now wisdom became bread. Don't ask me why. Hatavshil, the Baba Ganoush, the Chumos, that's the Bina. Elmi she'ein biyade loizu. She'ein biyade loizu v'loizu, ein biyade klum. But guess what? If you have no Baba Ganoush and you have no Lafa, you know what you have in your hand?
No.
Nothing. That's profound. That's profound. So if you go to the restaurant and you get no Lafa and no Baba Ganoush, then you have nothing. But if you get only Lafa, what kind of meal is it? Only Baba Ganoush can eat it by itself. Now, in case this is not good enough yet, so now we have wine and pitch, and then we get Baba Ganoush and Lafa, and then we get Minhaga Shalalam, the way of the world is that a person sews himself or herself a fancy suit, a chaluk, a tunic, b'meya mana. That's a fancy suit. That's like a boss or something, you know. Meya mana is a lot of money. But you don't have no food to eat, so any klum, that's worthless. You just have nice clothes and nothing to eat? I don't know, maybe that's where you fit into your nice clothes. What does that mean anyway? What does it mean you have nice clothes but nothing to eat? Kach, says the Medrash, so too. Havineni, make me understand. The Elmada. So make me understand is the food, so it shouldn't be an empty suit. So now it cannot be an empty suit, otherwise it'd just be an empty suit. On the surface, this Medrash is one big mystery from A to Z.
So you're nice on the outside because you have a nice suit, but you have no food.
Yeah. Okay. So you have. I understand. It's not a very good place to be, and you have a nice wardrobe, but you're starving to death. Right. Right. But you need to have both. Right. You want to look like a mensch and feel like a mensch. You have to eat and. But how does that work out? The chachma and bina, like the whole thing, seems entirely mysterious. So in the beginning of last week's class, I told you that I was really excited about this, and I was going to try to share with you some new ideas. I gave you all the sources up till now. I haven't told you anything original yet, but. What I'm seeking now is to understand how do we work out this business of David HaMelech, who says, I'm perfectly suited for wisdom, so make me understand, or fill me with understanding. And then I'll learn something, right? That's the antithesis of the thesis we just developed, A. And B, what is the meaning of this emphasis on Bina that I'm asking for? What am I asking for? And I have a medrash that gives me no less than three metaphors, which are supposed to make things easier to understand, but on the surface, they seem only to confuse us. Metaphors that don't speak to us. I don't know. I got lunch. I got Baba Ganoush and Lafa. I got a wardrobe. I even have wine in a wine cellar, but I don't know what I'm talking about over here. I don't understand how this is the business of, how does this equal Chachma and Bina? How does it equal Havineni? And one last little detail before we go on. This is the letter Yud. 8 verses for the letter Yud. Do you know that in the writings of Kabbalah and Chassidus and even really Chakira, the letter Yud is invariably supposed to represent the faculty of Chochmah? Why? The letter Yud is made with a dot. It's a dot with a few sharp edges. That's all it is. If you've ever written a letter in a Sefer Torah, or if you know how it works, you basically take that feather and you put feather to parchment, and if you press, the ink starts to come out. Now, if it's a yud, you don't have a lot of work there. You have to be able to control that dot. It doesn't just like spill. But you have a little bit, you just make a little dot, and you have to make a projectile on top, a projectile on the bottom, and bring it down on the right side. It's mostly a dot. Most of the depth of the letter is just a dot. That's all. Yud is called a nekuda. That's why I call this nuclear options. Okay, it's a nuclear essence. That's what the yud represents. And it represents chachma. Because Chachma is just a dot, just a moment, an epiphany. And within the framework of the letters of Hashem's name, Yud, K, Vav, K, the letter Yud represents Chachma. I could expand on this, but this is a very basic concept. Yud and Chachma is like French fries and ketchup. It's like a glove, hand in a glove. So amazingly, in this whole verse, which speaks a lot about Torah study, and about it's about asking Hashem to have the wisdom of Torah, I didn't find the word Chochmah showing up even once. It's actually amazing to me. We start off with Yodecho Asuni. I got hands, I got making, I got learning, and I got mitzvahs. That's in verse 73. And the only word that actually speaks about knowledge or understanding or wisdom is Havineni. Havineni and Elmada. I don't have the word Chachma. The verse 74, take a look inside it. I talk about reverence, Yedecha Yeruni. I talk about joy, Yismachu. I talk about hope, the Dvarcha Yecholti. In verse 75, Yadaiti, I know that God's ordinances are just. I talk about emuna, talk about faith. In verse 76, I talk about kindness. God's kindness should comfort me. I talk about in Ayin Zayin, I talk about rachamim. Once again, I'm back to mercy, compassion. Yiviyuni, God's mercy should bring me. Ve'echya, and I'll live. Ki sedoscha shashua, because your Torah, it's the thing that gladdens me, and it's what things, the things of my joy, my play with this. And then I want all my enemies to kind of dry out because their lies, you know, they're just, I'm going to speak about your words. Forget about your enemy. Yeshuvu li'erecha v'yedei desecha. Again, talking about knowledge, knowing Hashem's. Yehi li b'tamim, I'm now up to my heart. My heart should be intact and perfect. Ma'al le'evish, I shouldn't be ashamed. And that's the end of Yud. Not once is the word Chachma mentioned. If you will ask anybody who is somewhat in tune with Torah literature, if there is a word that fits with the letter Yud, I can promise you the answer will be Chachma. Chachma and Yud go together. And yet, in David HaMelech's Tam Ne'api, eight-faced verse, that has eight verses for Yud, the word Chachma is not mentioned even once. And it wouldn't be so shocking, but the fact that Bina is mentioned. Bina and Das are both mentioned. And in the first verse of these of this collection, we have an emphasis on Havineni. Havineni is make me. It doesn't say Techakmeni, which would be, okay, make me wise. No, make me understanding. Not give me Chachma, but give me Bina. Isn't that strange? Why does a Chachma show up here at all? So this also, it's not really the antithesis of our thesis, but it's still something that seems to me that kind of begs a question. Maybe even that's really what the Medrash is even, perhaps even referring to. Okay, so from this point onward, I'm going out a little bit on what we call a limb. I'm going to take you in a new direction, and I'm going to suggest that the way to understand this pasuk of Tehillim, insofar as we've understood it to some degree up till this point, the only way to move forward is with the illuminating teachings of Chassidus. And I'm going to teach you some very deep Chassidus now. And hopefully you'll hang on to your chairs and you'll be able to, don't fall off, and you'll be able to understand. Stop me if I lose you at any point. And I think you'll be amazed how this all comes together. So let's talk about Chachma. Let's talk about Chachma and Bina, because that's kind of what our conversations have been about. I'm going to take you, first and foremost, to the third chapter of Tanya. You don't have a book. I'm going to share with you some of the actual verbiage. And then this is where the Alter Rebbe first introduces the idea of Chachma and Bina to us. So in the third chapter of Tanya, he starts off by saying that there's 10 soul faculties, everybody's got them. And then he says, Ubir ha'inyan. Let me explain this to you. So he says, Kihine, ha'seichel shebenefesh ha'maskeles, the intelligence of the intelligent soul. So Nefesh HaMaskelas is what we would call also the Nefesh HaLikis, it seems, the godly soul. The godly soul is an intelligent soul. There's a Nefesh HaTivis, there's a natural soul, and the natural soul, that's like an animal. That's natural, that's like he has to live. Like digesting food does not take a human brain. Animals digest food also. Procreation doesn't take a human. Animals can do that too. Maybe they can do things like that even better. Maybe animals can run faster. Maybe thoroughbreds are more impressive around the racetrack than people who run very quickly. What can a human being do which is unique? Where's the soul of God? We said that a human being is created the image of God. Where do we see the image of God displaying itself on the screen of humanity? The answer is in our intelligence, as we talked about last week. So the seichel of the nefesh hamaskelas, shehu hamaskil kol dover, this intelligence that intuits everything. All of intelligence has to have a starting point. I didn't know what was going on. I said, oh, an oh moment. Oh, that's what it is. And now I know what you're saying. So there's the maskil kol davar. This is called chokhmah. So it's translated as wisdom because we don't really have a good English word for it. But this, it really means the imaginative ability to intuit something. An epiphany is probably the best or closest word to the activity of chokhmah. Chokhmah is an epiphany. An epiphany doesn't incidentally mean that I have to be a genius and come up with brilliant ideas. So, oh, I have an epiphany. I have a brilliant idea. No, chokhmah just means I'm trying to tell you something and you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you how you should go from point A to point B. And you say, I'm so confused. Could you repeat that again? He said again and again. He says, oh, that's what you meant. This could be as simple as telling a child to go from bring you a glass of water, but the child doesn't know what you're talking about. He says, now I get it. So at every time when a human being, every kind of has what we would call intellectual activity, cerebral activity all begins with a moment of, oh. Aha. The aha, that's chokhmah. And it comes in a flash. Sometimes you read it a few times or hear it a few times or go through life. And then you have an epiphany. Like most of these dumb Hollywood movies, right? Where the hero or heroine at the end of the movie says, aha, life has meaning. Wow, it's so brilliant. I didn't know life has meaning. And suddenly it took a whole movie with all kinds of sordid scenes and violence, a person to come to the realization, life's too short. Wow, such an epiphany. And then the music goes and it's so dramatic and everybody starts crying. I don't know why, but that's, what this thing should be elementary. But all of artistry is everything which is intelligent in the human condition has to utilize chokhmah. Person looks at a painting and gets, oh, like it hits you suddenly. That's what you're looking at. Or sometimes people do these trick things where you look at, you're supposed to identify things. Or sometimes a person goes through life and they see the same thing day after day, year after year, decade after, and suddenly, oh, why did I never realize that? We're full of aha moments in life. Or so we should be. They say the day you stop living, the day you stop learning is the day you stop living. Learning begins with aha moments. And when you study Torah, incidentally, the more you study Torah, when you read even the same thing, you read it again and study it again, and you keep having new aha moments. You keep learning new things because Torah is endless, and it's so layered, and it's so deep, so godly, and so eternal, and it's so literally endless that you keep having new ahas, keep realizing new things. I could go on, but you understand what I'm saying. So this is the idea of koyach haseichel, that's the meaning of chokhmah. So this business of chokhmah, of having an aha moment, what is it best understood as? A fleeting moment of awareness. The word chokhmah is actually, says the Alter Rebbe, divided into two Hebrew words. The Hebrew language is so meaningful that even we can break a word down into small details and we see how the word itself describes what it means. It's not just Lashon Heskemi, which means we agreed to call something wisdom. Why not? No, but the actual word chokhmah describes the process of epiphany. What's the word? Koyach ma. Koyach means a power, a force. What is ma? What? What was that? Sometimes it hits you so fast, you don't even know what hit you. What was that? So after having the aha, which could come and go as quickly as a flash of lightning, what's supposed to follow after the koyach ma? I have to take that koyach, I have to take that force that hit me with such speed, and I have to bring it now, chishamaytzi'oi koychoi el hapoil, when you take this latent aha and develop it. What do we call that development? That means shemizboinin besichle. Let me contemplate that. What did I just get? What did I just understand? Lahovin dover la'ashurai, to understand something fully and properly. La'omkai, in its depth. Mitach ezed dvar chokhmah, from any kind of awareness that suddenly came. Whether it's an awareness of how I was doing something wrong all along, or an awareness of how good it is, thank God I did this and this. Or, wow, what a brilliant idea. Or, yeah, okay, fine, now I'll do it this way. However it could be, these are things that happen multiple times in an hour. We have chachma moments. The chachma moment has to filter through or be distilled through the diffusion of bina. When you understand ezed var chachma, anything of intelligence, nikra, it's called bina. It's called understanding. So now I understand means I got it, now I have to understand it. That's why sometimes somebody will have an idea. They'll say, shh, 1 second, I think I have an idea. I need to think about this for a minute. And even though they get it, they can't explain it. But if you get it, why can't you explain it? Why can't you share it? Because you don't get it well enough yet. In order to fully grasp it, I have to understand what I just got. So imagine, Zugizunt, if you will, a person is driving on a dark road, no lights, and you don't know where you're going, and there's turns in every road, and all of a sudden there's this big lightning flash, and it lights up the whole front of you, right? Like you see everything clearly, and then, of course, it goes dark again. And what are you trying to do afterwards? Subconsciously, you're trying to recreate the image you just saw. Trying to see, because you saw everything, so now you're just trying to like put the pieces back together so you actually know where to go next. So it is in life sometimes, we have a flash of inspiration. We have clarity. That's really what this is about, a moment of clarity. And the trick is to take that moment of clarity and be able to clarify it, or to develop it, explain it, share it, articulate it, sometimes even to yourself. That's chachma, and that's bina. Now, obviously, this is really Torah Chassidus, especially as Chassidus Chabad explains it, although, truth be told, that the origins of this start off in the medieval times of Chakira, and this is the real understanding of Zohar. This is the real meaning of Kabbalah. Without this, you can't understand anything it says in Kabbalah. Just Chassidus explains it to us in a way that ordinary people can understand this. So that's called Bina. And then what is the function of Chochmah and Bina when they operate together? The Hein Heim, says the Alter Rebbe, they are of the aim. They actually serve as the parental forces. HaMelidas Ahavas Hashem V'yidasei Upachtei, which engender and give birth to, if you will, emotions. So people have maturity of mind necessarily influences and creates mature emotions. If people are flippant when they think about something or don't really bother understanding anything, they just react viscerally, flip their lids. In order for a person to really have a proper emotion, to connect to something on an emotional level, would feel this is like a part of me, I identify with this, what has to happen is that they went through the proper process of grasping the idea, developing the idea, and then I can develop a filial connection to it. This is me, this is, I identify with it, I want this, or I don't want this, keep it as far away from me as possible. So far, everything is clear? Is it all making sense? Understand the difference between Chochmah and Bina? This is really critically important, because if we're going to understand this Medrash, and know that why Chochmah is wine and Bina is pitch, we're going to have to understand the difference between Chochmah and Bina. Okay. So now, I want to share with you another nuance, another detail about Chochmah. We could talk for weeks about Chachma and Bina, but I'm just giving you some basics. This is from the 18th chapter of Tanya. So the Alter Rebbe talks about the fact that every one of us has this innate love or connection to God. Just we receive it by inheritance. And he asks, what does that mean? How could you get a feeling from inheritance? How could you get a connection from inheritance? It's not a genetic thing. It's not like eye color. It's not like intelligence. It's a spiritual thing. How could that be passed down from generation? And what is it exactly? And he sets out to describe what it means, the gift of being Jewish, what it means to have a connection to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, what it means to be part of this spiritual family. So the Alter Rebbe explains to us that there's a level called Chochmah, which is the core essence of everybody's soul, and that's where our connection with Hashem resides. He says, Hini, HaChochmah, Hu Mokar HaSeichel VaAvana. Chochmah is the source of understanding. It's the source of intelligence. Meaning, Chachma in and of itself is not really intelligent. That is to say, an animal can also have a Chachma moment. Let's say you're training an animal. And they do, they train animals. They train giant dolphins to jump up and down, or lions or tigers to prance around in the circus. So how do they train them? They train them because it's repetition. The animal has intelligence. From the fact that we say, Yoda shor koinehu, the ox knows his owner, clearly the ox has intelligence. There's no question that dogs know who their owner is. They don't bite the hand that feeds them. They might bite somebody else's hand. Or they might know it's a good idea not to do their thing in the middle of the living room because their owner's going to be disappointed and upset. And there are amazing stories of dogs who lost their owners, and weep and cry, dogs who lay on the grave and refuse to leave. Like, they know something. And we have this expression about the fox that says, Shu'al pikach shebechayis, that the fox is the cleverest or slyest of the forest animals. What does that tell you? If he's the cleverest, there has to be some kind of clever nature. But no fox has ever written a strategy. No, he's never written a business plan. And no dog has ever written a poem or a sonnet expressing his profound feelings. There is a story going around, and I don't know if it's true, and I don't trust Snopes anyway, so I wouldn't bother checking there, but that there was this dog who saw people that were bringing money and buying drinks. And at some point, the dog showed up with a leaf, expecting to get something in return. I don't know if this is true. But if it is true, there's a picture of it, which I have no idea if it's a fake picture. If it is true, it's astounding. Now, the dog doesn't understand what currency is, but he did see there's something flat. To him, a leaf and a dollar is the same, right? And so he brought a leaf, and he wanted to get the drink. He wanted the food. It could be. If it's true or not, I don't know, but it could be true. So there is an intelligence within animals. What do animals not have? No animal has bina. No animal has the ability to process an idea, develop an idea. No animal has the ability to figure out the chess game. Okay, what happens next? Animals can only respond. And they respond primarily on a level of instinct, primarily, intuitively. But that intuition is somewhat chachma-like. They get it. At a certain point, the dolphin realized that if he jumps higher, he gets more tuna to eat afterwards. So what does he do? He jumps higher. They train mice. You know, the famous Pavlov's famous experiment where the dog started salivating when they heard the sound of the bell. They knew what was coming. Pavlov's dogs were not smarter than anybody else's dogs. Animals can be conditioned. For conditioning, there has to be some kind of, I got it. The animal gets it. The animal knows it. He'll never be able to explain it to you. So what's unique about humanity is not chachma per se, but rather actually bina. That's really what's unique. Now, having said this, you know, the interesting thing is that people are not called homo sapiens in Torah, we're called medaber, communicator. Not only we can understand things, we can actually make them understood to somebody else. And incidentally, the litmus test of whether you actually understand what you're saying or what you supposedly understand, you know what the litmus test is? Can you convey it to somebody else? Who's the wisest person in the world, proverbially speaking? Shlomo HaMelech. What does it say about him? Chacham mikol adam shal pnei adama. Wisest person on the face of the earth. And how wise was he? He could speak to the animals. No, that's not what it says. Vayedaber shloime shloishes alofim mashal. He could make 3,000 parables. So what does that mean? He was just a good creative writer. He could spin many yarns. Is that how Judaism defines wisdom? Creative writing? Making parables and creating metaphors? Spinning fairy tales? Is that the meaning of wisdom? So Chassidus says, nah, that's not the meaning of wisdom. And Shlomo HaMelech didn't just spin 3,000 stories. A mashal is a very unique kind of story. It's an envelope that takes an idea from a person who understands it very well, and it brings the idea like a vehicle. It delivers the idea to somebody who does not understand it very well. Now, if you have clarity about something and you want to deliver this idea to somebody who doesn't understand it, what do you need to do? You need to know what they understand. You need to be able to create the vessel, to create the convention that they should be able to receive it in. So if you put something hot in a plastic cup, it's not a good idea. This is going to burn the person's fingers and the cup might even melt. You need a styrofoam cup. If you give a metaphor or a mashal or a use a convention that is not helpful to the one who you're conveying the idea to, who will you have helped? The answer is nobody. You know, you want to convey this deep Torah idea, so you use a profound scientific idea. But you're speaking to a dog trainer. So he doesn't know what you're talking about because nuclear physics is as meaningful to him as the Book of Zohar. But I explained, I took this incredible Zoharic concept and I put it into terminology of nuclear physics. That's amazing. For the nuclear physicist, it's amazing. For the dog trainer, you need to put it into a language that explains empathy with animals and how you get the animal to get it. And the dog trainer goes, wow, that's great. That's what the Zohar is saying. In the meantime, the nuclear physicist is baffled because he never trained a dog in his life. And he doesn't know what you're talking about. You talk to somebody who's a culinary expert, a master chef, and they can create masterpieces from virtually nothing. And you use a metaphor of the kitchen and of kitchen implements and of a particular spice that can suddenly be, you know, put, added at the right time, in the right way, in the right fashion, and it transforms the whole dish. And it elevates the taste. The person says, wow, so that's what this particular, yeah, that's what it means. Wow, it's so great. Now, in the meantime, you're talking to a shoemaker, and he doesn't know what you're talking about. But when you'll be able to find the stitch that helps the shoe hold together, oh, he gets it. So, yeah, Solomon was so smart that he could relate to 3,000 different levels of people. We don't. I can't even create 3,000 levels of people. I could probably run that after 25. Solomon could identify within humanity 3,000 different levels, and he could convey an idea to the one, to each one of those people, that they would understand perfectly, like a hot knife and butter. They would go, oh, that makes perfect sense. And each person would understand the idea perfectly. It would be music to everybody's ears. That's really smart. So what's a human being? What is the, in Torah literature, what's a human being called? It's called a medaber. Medaber. Medaber means the communicator. Because he can speak. Because we have so many languages that we created. And not only languages, spoken languages, but we have body language, and we have music, and we have art, and we have literature. We have so many ways in which we convey things. And all of our relationships are about communication and figuring out how to communicate. And some of the most challenging communication is with people who aren't gifted the ability to communicate. Rahmana Litzlan, people who are stricken with autism. And then they have these amazing people that manage to communicate with them too. So it's all about communication, ultimately. And you can't communicate. You getting it doesn't do anything for somebody else. But when you understand it really well, then you develop the ability to communicate and share that with somebody else. So from Chachma, it must go into Bina. And only when it goes into Bina, when I understand it really well, and I develop and articulate this concept, am I able to communicate it to somebody else? Doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. So the Alter Rebbe says that the Chachma is the Mokker, it's the source. Source. But actually, it's Lemaila min HaBina. It's higher than Bina, he says. Because Bina, because Havonas HaSeichel VaHasagosai, is I'm understanding the idea within the frame of what I can understand. Every one of us understands as per whatever you've understood up till now. Like everything you learned helps you understand what you're able to grasp right now. And the more you learn, the better you understand. And so as we continue to learn new things, we continue to develop a better way of understanding, a deeper way of understanding. In fact, sometimes you understand not because of what we learned in the classroom or academically, but because what we learned through life's experiences. And things learned experientially are sometimes much more profound than things learned in a class more academic setting. And then we understand it. And some people have a different way or develop a new way of understanding things. Some people are just intuitive. Not only they can grasp things, but they can understand things well. So the meaning of seichel is it's chachma is lemaila mehavana v'asaga hu makar lehem. It's a source for this. Is all chachma is step one. Step one is epiphany, flash. I got it. Aha, that's step one. But at this point, the person does not yet really understand what they got. And the chachma is therefore loftier, higher. It's in fact beyond. Chachma is beyond understanding. What has to happen is we have to have phase two. Phase two has to then take this deep idea and bring it down into our understanding so we should actually get it. Now, here's the really interesting thing. It's virtually impossible to get Chachma without Bina. You can't pick up a hot pot unless you have one of those gloves. You'll never get the idea unless you have some kind of metaphor to present the idea in. You'll not be able to contain the flame unless you have a wick and you have fuel that'll hold it. So you need to have a frame to be able to hold something in. And holding it is bina. That's how we get things. We could get things intuitively, but that doesn't contribute towards our human experience. Our human experience must necessarily be experienced through bina. Otherwise, like an animal or an angel. But we're not having a human experience. The human experience is to be able to develop and understand that. And precisely because chokhma is beyond the frame of the human experience, and that's why chokhma is koyach ma. Ma is what? Says the Alter Rebbe, ma she'eini musugu muvan. We speak here about that which is not really understood. So ve'eini nitves ba'asogadayin. It's not yet grasped. I got it, but I didn't grasp it. I got it, but I don't understand it. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, that is the part of the human condition, even though animals have chachma too. We have a unique chachma. We have a loftier level of chachma. But that's the part of the soul, mislabesh ba'ir and seif beruchu. That's where the eternal and infinite light of God can express itself. Why? The less machashava tvisa beklal. No mind can fathom God. But there's an element of our persona which is beyond fathomability. That's chachma. I got it, but I have no clue of how I got it. I don't even know what means that I got it. I don't understand. I don't fathom, but I got it. So that's where God, that's the entry point of divinity into our lives. And Alter Rebbe says that mesiras nefesh, absolute, utter, total self-sacrifice, the willingness to give one's very life for my love and loyalty to God, comes from where? From chachma sheben nefesh. It comes from this deepest, most profoundest, most poignant element of our humanity, which is actually beyond the human experience. There's a part of us that's beyond us. That's the source of everything we have, but it's actually beyond us. And that point which is beyond us, that eye cloud, if you will, that's the entry point for God into our lives. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says an amazing thing. V'lochein kol Yisrael. Therefore, all of Israel. Afilu, even he says, people who are simplistic, undeveloped, they all believe in God. It doesn't matter what level of education. Faith is not the sum total of intelligence or of understanding or of wisdom. Faith is when there's, I got it. How do you know this God? I know. Could you explain that? Nah, not really. So you don't know it. I just know it. Faith is this surety, this security, this absolute wisdom or knowledge that pervades us without us having any fathomability of why we're so sure of it. I just get it. Can't explain it. He says, Pesiyam in the Choldavar. When we speak about faith, sometimes Shlomo HaMelech says in Proverbs, a dummy believes everything. Right, a dummy believes everything. But we believing in God is not dumb. Orim Yovin. It says a person who is, so to speak, who's cunning maybe understands. The point here is that none of us can really understand God. The person who is an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, who is versed in the entirety of Torah and sees the whole Torah before him, even that person still can't fathom God. God is still beyond that. What's the only way we can actually grasp God? Machshava, our thought process can't grasp God. Less machshava tvisabe. Machshava, the human thought cannot grasp God. What can grasp God? Only Chachma, because it's beyond us. So in order for us to take the idea and understand it, what do we need to have? We need to have Bina. So do you know that Chachma and Bina in the Zohar, in Chelek Gimel, are called Trein Re'ein Deloy Misparshin, two best friends, they never separate. Two best friends. And these two best friends, because they have to always be, one has to always be one next to the other. And the Alter Rebbe explains in a Maimer in Parshas Baaloischa, actually, he says that this idea of the concept of the Trein Re'ein Deloy Misparshin means, just like we say, Baruch Atah Havaya Elokeinu. Havaya, or Yudke Vavke, is the energy of divinity that's beyond creation. And then we have the level of God, which is within creation. God creates a reality. The only way for us to grasp or relate to God in any way, shape, or fashion is through Elokeinu, our God, the God who creates us, who gives us our vitality, our life, and animates us, and so on and so forth. But there's a God, but that God is actually beyond our grasp. So we're grasping the ungraspable. We're supposed to do that. How should we learn Torah? Scan it? Put books on our head? No, we should learn it. We should understand it. And then I'm having a godly experience. No, I'm having a human experience. No, I'm having a godly experience, because when I'm understanding Torah, I'm connecting to something which is actually beyond my ability to understand. I'm knowing the unknowable. And the more I know it, somehow the more I tap into and become aware of that which is beyond my intelligence. Am I making sense? You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, the point is that the reason that Trein Reindlo and Misparshan, the two friends that can never be separated, is because the only way for me to grasp an idea is with Bina. Otherwise, I'm having an animal experience. To have a human experience, I have to have Bina. I once was in conversation with the famous rabbi, sage, mystic, psychologist, Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky. I shared this with you before many times, but it's a beautiful little vignette that illustrates this perfectly. And in the middle of our conversation, we talk about many interesting things, and he suddenly said to me, in his own inimitable fashion, he says to me, "Close your eyes." So I close my eyes. Rabbi Tversky tells you, "Close your eyes," you close your eyes. And then he takes my hand, and he puts his fingers on something. And he says, "What is that?" I said, "It's a key. Open your eyes." I open my eyes, and I'm holding a key. He says, "How did you know that was a key?" I said, "What do you mean? I felt it." Okay. "What did you feel?" I said, "I felt, you said, did you feel metal or a key?" Well, I said, "That's, what's the difference? I felt a metal key." He says, "Metal is the chachma. It's metal. The shape, the form is the key." He said, "Did you first think of metal and then think of key, or did you think metal key? Or even better, did you think key?" I said, "Key." He says, "That's the meaning of Trein Reindlo and Misparshan. That's the meaning of two best friends." In other words, there's no way, the only way I could grasp what the metal was by understanding what I was holding. And it was intuitive. In other words, it's a split second, or maybe nanosecond, or maybe you can't even make any differentiation at all, that it comes together, Chachma Bina come together. To know the unknowable, I have to know. In order to experience Chachma, the only frame, that which holds Chachma is Bina. Does this make sense to you? Let's go back to that Medrash now, and tell me if the Medrash doesn't sing off the page now. So what did David HaMelech ask for? David HaMelech asked, "Please help me to what? Havineni, make me wise." Make me wise? Figure it out yourself, man! No, I can't figure it out myself. I need to first have Bina. He says, what is the wisdom? The wisdom is like yayin. Wisdom's like yayin. You know that wine, when it's imbibed, when it's ingested, invariably, what does it do? It brings our vitality to the fore. We get flushed cheeks. Our heart starts pumping more quickly. And then all kinds of things that are inside might even come out. All of a sudden, people become more glib, more communicative, more talkative. They become more easy, available. The inhibition drops. So wine, this is like, it's what wisdom does to you. It brings out your potential. But I have to be able to hold the wine. So the Medrash says, what is Havineni? Amar David said, Hachavis shal yayin, this barrel of wine, I can't put wine into it, ad shazifte, until I have a sealant, until I have a container. When I have a container, I can pour the wine in. Kach ziftani, seal me. V'achakach simba yayin, then I can put wine. What does that mean? Habino hu azefes. What is zefes? What's sealant? Sealant that which can contain it. In order for me to be able to contain it, I have to be able to understand things. Once I can understand, then I can intuit and grasp things which are beyond my understanding. Otherwise, I'm a behemoth. So what does David HaMelech ask for? Give me the gift of human comprehension. Once I comprehend, once you help me comprehend, then I can learn. But if you don't let me comprehend, I won't be able to learn anything. So of course, when I learn it, I'll understand it. But first, I have to have the ability to understand it. First, I have to have the power of Bina. HaTalmud Uayayin. So that's David HaMelech said, 10 be Bina. Give me the ability to grasp things. Not like an animal grasp things. Like a human grasp things. Give me the gift, not just of Chachma, but the gift of Bina. Because up until now, what were we talking about? The gift of Chachma. We're built in a way which is wise. But that wisdom has to be grasped. Otherwise, I don't get it. A small baby grasps things, but doesn't understand anything. He doesn't get smart. He doesn't learn how to be smart. Hashem gives the baby maturity. And as the baby becomes more mature, what can the baby suddenly do? The baby can now process. Babies get it. They know when they're cold. They know when they're hungry. They know when they're uncomfortable. They'll let you know too, but not in a very intelligent way. It's just in a primal cry in the middle of the night. and you will know. But the baby didn't say what. He didn't say, I'm hungry, I'm lonely, I'm tired. Well, go to sleep if you're tired. No, I want you to put me to sleep. He didn't say, my diaper's full. He didn't tell you what. I remember once one of my siblings was crying and crying and crying and crying until my mother realized, you know, remember the ancient days when, before the days of Pampers and Huggies, when they actually used to use those safety pins? Somebody changed the baby and stuck the baby with a pin. It was awful. It was awful, right? And the baby cried and cried and cried. And I was a little boy and never forgot this because it was such a terrifying experience that what do we learn? When a baby cries, there's a reason for it. Yeah. Now, if the baby could have been a little more smart, if the baby said, you stuck me with a pin. You got the pin out of my tuchus and everything will be fine, right? Why don't you say that? You know the story of the little boy who never spoke? Never spoke. The parents are freaking out. Kid's 5 years old, still hasn't said a word. One morning, the toaster's in the toaster, and it starts burning. And the kid screams, the toaster's burning! Mm-hmm. And the mother freaks out, and then she gets so happy. She runs and puts out the fire. She says, you spoke! She says, why didn't you ever speak before? He says, you never burned the toast before. you have to have reason to speak. So babies are just as human as adults, but what are babies missing? Bina. They're missing bina. Sometimes you can be very immature about life. You could be like a baby. We know how to kvetch and cry, complain. We get it. What do we get? I get it that I'm hungry. I get it that I need. I need this. I need that. I need everything else. Talk about all the things I need. What does God need you for? Who are you? Where do you fit into this? Do you think maybe that God created you with purpose? There's a famous narrative that a chassid once came to the Alter Rebbe with a long shopping list of everything he needed. And the Alter Rebbe read his whole list and he said to him, Du sagst alles, was du darfst. You have a list of all the things that you need. But never did you mention was darf dir haben dem Eibishten. What does God need you for? Those are fighting words. The chassid fainted. And they brought him back, and the Alter Rebbe told him, if you'll make sure that God gets what he needs from you, what you need from him, you'll also get. It's a moment of maturity. Every human being knows what he needs. But how many people know what they're needed for? That takes bina. That takes what we call a little bit of understanding. So this is David HaMelech's prayer. I shouldn't just know about mitzvahs. I get mitzvahs, big doesn't mean anything. I should understand it. So therefore he prays, Havineini. And then we go now into our next metaphor. In case you didn't get the metaphor of the wine, in case you don't understand that the sealant contains the wine, he says, okay, I'll give you another metaphor. You sit down in the restaurant. It's a wonderful laffa restaurant. There are 9 of them here in the city. And all you get is laffa. You say, hello? What? You got laffa? Yeah, I gotta eat the laffa with something. Oh, laffa and the baba ganoush. Now it makes sense. I got hummus. Now I can eat. I don't have chokhmah. I don't have bina, I can't have chokhmah. I won't be able to learn if I don't have the ability to comprehend and understand. And then finally, the last metaphor is an empty suit. When we say somebody's an empty suit, what are we saying? All style, no content, no character. In other words, we should not be judged, to quote the famous Martin Luther King, by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Are you just, what is it, skin deep? What is it, just superficial? Who are you? This is what David HaMelech's prayer was. Do you understand what David HaMelech is praying for? In other words, our thesis initially was, this is all being a mensch, not about being a behemoth, not about being an animal. So what was the... And then David HaMelech says something which is the antithesis of the thesis. He says, Havineini, make me understand. But now, after what we understood, it's not the antithesis. The synthesis is, David HaMelech says, precisely because I can be a mensch, precisely because you did create me in such an exquisite form and with such amazing symmetry, precisely because I can be a human, what I need from you, Havineini, give me the ability to understand, and if only the Bnei Shalom, you give me the ability to understand the Elmad of Mitzvah Secha, then I'll really learn your mitzvahs. Now plug that into everything we learned last week. And it's amazing. And it's amazing. And I'll conclude with this. In Biuri HaZoyar, the Tzemach Tzedek says something absolutely mind-boggling. It's in Biuri HaZoyar and Parshas Emor. It's on page Tav Chavav. The Tzemach Tzedek says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to find people who were Anoshim, who were Chachamim u'Nevoinim. Chachamim means wise. Nevoinim means understanding. So it says... It says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Nevoinim loy ishtakach. Hagam, the chokh magdeli yeser. He could find chachamim, he couldn't find nevoinim. Couldn't find understanders. He could find wisers, not understanders. He could find people who got it, but he couldn't find people who could comprehend it. Someone said this in 1 second. What's greater, Chachma or Bina? Chachma seeds Bina. So if you found Chachma, for sure you have to have Bina. How could you have Chacham but not Maven? So he says no, because the Chachma is actually loftier than Bina, and therefore because Chachma is loftier, it can come down to a lower level. Chachma can be expressed in the lowest level, like we learned in Tanya. The Chachma can engender Mesiras Nefesh, actual sacrifice. Equally, so people who have loads of Bina and people who have no Bina, they're all ready to sacrifice their lives. Why? Because they all connect to God. And what level do they connect? The level of Chachma. So Chachma could come down to the lowest level. In fact, even animals can experience, I got it. I'll jump higher, says the porpoise. I'll do my thing, says the dolphin. Just give me more tuna. However, there's no understanding. And the Tzemach Tzedek says that af mi she'ein lo lev lahavin, even somebody who cannot understand, but yachal limser nafshe, he could still give away his soul. He could still experience mesiras nefesh. Ula oirer gilui b'china zu tamid, he can always reveal the chachma in his own soul. He can say, I refuse to let go. I am a Jew. I was born a Jew. I died a Jew. Yeah, but you didn't live as a Jew. And you don't know anything about Judaism. I know, but this is not negotiable. Can't give it away. You're going to pay with your life. Sorry. That's Chachma. That's not Bina. In other words, because Chachma, he says, Eini nimshach derech ishtalshlos. Chachma doesn't necessarily filter down in a domino effect of rhyme and reason, where Chachma goes to Bina, and Bina goes to Das, and then that goes into Chagas, Chesed Gvura Teferes, and then that links into Netzach HaYosei. I'm not saying a lot of words now, I can't explain this all, but there's a whole lot, until it gets to Malchus, until it gets to the whole Esses Fidus, until it gets to action. No, Chachma can actually directly influence action. You can go from Chachma straight into action, straight into Maisa. That's the nature, because Chachma is so lofty, because Chachma is so powerful, because anybody can get it. But not everybody can understand it. Moshe could find Chachamim, he couldn't find Nevoinim. This is the point here. This is the prayer of David HaMelech. His prayer was, I want to be a mensch. I understand how amazing it is that you endowed me with these abilities. That's precisely what I'm asking for. It's precisely what I seek. It's what I'm looking for. Here's a fascinating vignette, whatever it's more, it's a very profound thing. Little time we have left. This is from a Maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe in the year Tavshin Ches. It's on page 69 in Sefer HaMaimer of Tavshin Ches. He says, we say, v'sein b'libeino bina, Hashem should put in our heart bina, understanding, lahavin to understand, u lahaskil. Lahaskil means to figure things out. So, haskalah and chachma are almost one and the same. So first you get it, then you understand it. Here he says, first give me the ability to understand, and then I'll figure it out. No. First I get it, then I understand it. First I have chachma, then I have bina. This is exactly the question of the Friedrich Rebbe. He says, the seder, the order here, seems backwards. The seder is that first you have bina, is lahavin or lahasig, to grasp that which you already kind of learned, or had an epiphany, had an aha moment, now I have to develop it and understand it. B'chayr should be a different order. So the Friedrich Rebbe says that no, it's not in a different order. Because really and truly, we ask of Hashem, yitem b'libeinu bina, lahavin, we don't just want to understand what I know already. In order for me to learn new things, I have to have a solid understanding or ability to understand. And based on previous understanding, I can learn something new. The aha moment is only enabled when I have the background of the Bina first in place. Even though the aha moment is not the sum total of the understanding, because the aha moment is koyach ma, comes out of nowhere. But in order to be able to catch it, what do I first have to do? First, I have to create the environment, I have to create the vessel for it. And the vessel is Bina. And the Friedrich Rebbe goes on to say, he talks about understanding that which the human mind can fathom. And in the language of Hasidus, this is called Memale Kol Alma, the level of divinity as it's matched and married with every single level of creation. And then there's this ability for us to understand that which is beyond creation. which in the language of Chassidus is called Soiviv Kolamo, the atmospheric reality of God. He says the only way to have any grasp of the atmospheric reality, which is around us, beyond us, is first to have an understanding of Memale Kolamo, that in the way which God interacts with us. So the Havana, the understanding, makes us able to then grasp that which otherwise would have been unfathomable. It enables the aha. So it turns out that Bina actually enables Chochmah. Without having the barrel, I couldn't get the wine. I can't have Chochmah na Bina. Can't have french fries without ketchup. Person says, where's my ketchup? I can't eat the french fries. They say, okay, here's ketchup. I can't eat ketchup. Ketchup and french fries. Laf and Baba Ganoush. Chochmah and Bina always have to come together. And this, my dear friends, I would like to suggest is what this chapter of Tehillim, this pasuk of Tehillim is about. This is what David HaMelech was asking. So the thesis is, Yodecha suni v'choynanuni, how exquisitely and perfectly God made us. How we are so built for this experience of relationship with God, of knowledge, of intelligence. How we're built to be a mensch. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please God, says David, Havineni, give me that understanding, give me that background, give me that ability. Ve'elmed mitzvah secha. And then, not only will I do your mitzvahs, I'll learn your mitzvahs. I'll grasp your mitzvahs cerebrally. And like the Torah, the philosophy of Chabad is first to grasp it cerebrally. From there, it filters through emotionally. From there, it goes functional until it's actualized. And that is, I think, the deeper meaning of this Pasuk Ayin Gimel. Now, I don't know if what I'm saying is right. I didn't see this anywhere. But it seems to me that this is exactly, you know, that's really what the Friedrich Rebbe asks about something else. It seems to me this is the thesis. This is the synthesis. This exactly is Taka the point. So if you take last week's class and this week's class and you put them together and you go over this carefully, I think you have a beautiful beginning to the teachings, to the verses on the letter Yud. And now you know why, by the way, Chochmah never shows up here. Because to get Chochmah, you need to have all these other things. All the letters of Yud are about creating the environment so we can grasp Chachma. Because Chachma is a koyach ma. Chachma, you don't give me Chachma. I have to get the Chachma. How do I get it? This is what the letters of Yud are about. It's about grasping that nuclear. The nuclear option. You want to get the nuclear option? You want to get the Yud? You want to get the Dot? Then you have to have the Bina, and you have to have the reverence and all the other things which enable us to grasp and fathom that which is intuitively, or maybe naturally or organically, beyond fathomability and beyond our reach and grasp. To be continued.
You're hungry. French fries.
And ketchup?
And ketchup.